For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So we are beginning the session, 3-day session, closing our practice commitment period. Thank you all for participating, whether or not you are formally in the practice period. So we've been focusing on the teachings from Hongzhe Zhongzhui from the 1100s, major predecessor of Dogen and all of Soto Zen. I want to focus today on focusing, taking the backward step that turns the light inwardly to illuminate ourselves, as Dogen says. So in Sesshin especially, it's a great opportunity to settle, to focus, to take the backward step, to find our inner calmness as we enjoy the birds singing outside here in the square. Settle, focus and find calm, to return to the source as Hongzhe and many other Soto teachers talk about. So there are various ways to focus, and you don't need to use any of these techniques. Our basic sitting is just sitting. Being present, feeling the space around us, facing the wall, facing ourselves. How is it? How does it feel? And again, focus. So, as I mentioned this morning, a big part of this is just enjoying our breath and our breathing. Enjoy your inhale. Enjoy your exhale. And the space at the end of the exhale. And another breath comes. But more thoughts come. So part of settling is that we settle in the midst of all of our stuff, all of the thoughts and feelings and habits of grasping and aversion that are part of our karmic self. But we settle. Within or under that, just to be present. And take another breath. And we can focus on the sounds around us. And we have, in this wonderful Chicago springtime, many birds singing around the Zendo here. I don't know if there are birds around you in Las Cruces, Mark, singing, but whatever sounds are available there, and Tyler in Ontario, of course, I don't know if you're today in Indiana or Chicago, but here we are. And we take another breath. And how is it to just be here? So we face the wall. We face ourselves. to face our whole world. And take another breath. And whatever thoughts or feelings arise, it's okay. Some are pleasant, some are unpleasant. Sometimes we feel regret. Sometimes we feel gratitude for being here now today. But being here now today includes everything. Everything around us, each one of us together, in this square zendo or on the Zoom room. And the sound of the L going by, nearby here in the spirit, and everything else. So as Uchiyama Roshi says, we settle the self on the self. What is it like? How does it feel? As we take another breath. So this is a very simple practice. Just sitting, enjoying our breath, enjoying the texture of the wall in front of us, or the texturelessness, whatever. Sounds of another L going by. And we will do this now for 3 days. We're just starting the first day, right? And enjoy your zazen, even though sometimes zazen is uncomfortable physically or emotionally or whatever. Just be present with all of it. It's okay. So just sitting here today, we don't have to figure out anything, we don't have to fix anything, just follow the schedule, just do the next thing, take the next breath. So I will say a little bit from Hongzhen, just to encourage our practice. So, just at the beginning of the practice instructions, Hongzhu says, the field of boundless emptiness is what exists from the very beginning. This field of zazen, the field of awareness, on your seat. This boundlessness or emptiness, as you like, exists from the very beginning, Hongzhu says. I would say it a little differently. I would say it exists from before the beginning. That it's open, boundless, endless. The source is arising at the beginning, at the middle, in the end, and before and after. It's already on your seat. And we all have various questions and concerns and stuff, to use the technical term, and it comes up along with our breath, or it can. And we can let that go too. Hongzhu goes on to say, you must purify, cure, grind down, or brush away all the tendencies you have fabricated into apparent habits. Interesting way of talking about our habitual patterns of thinking and grasping and turning away. And he says, purify, cure, grind down, or brush away. But I would say it doesn't mean crushing them. All of the stuff that comes up, all of these habitual ways of thinking and reacting and feeling, all of the stuff we think and feel, can be very familiar. It's who we are as a constructed self. But also, in the very beginning and from before the very beginning, there's this boundless spaciousness. So, taking a backward step means just brush away all that stuff. It'll come back if it's supposed to, and that's okay too. And, you know, some of the stuff that comes up is troubling. We have this term, inner turmoil, sometimes. Or sometimes you have some physical situation. Some problem with your back or your legs or whatever. And it's okay to change your sitting position in the middle of a period. Just do it quietly. So it continues, well, just to read the whole part, you must purify, cure, grind down, brush away all these tendencies that we have fabricated, we have put together with the help of all beings into apparent habits, and we each have our own version of that. Then, when you let it go a little, you can reside in the clear circle of brightness. Another way of talking about is settling, enjoying our breath, this clear circle of brightness, this radiance that is already here from the very beginning. Utter emptiness has no image. Upright independence does not rely on anything. So, you know, it's okay if you have images that are helpful in your mind, but this basic fundamental fullness, emptiness, is not dependent on any particular image. Our upright independence and dependent co-arising does not rely on anything. Or maybe we could say it relies on everything, but here we are. It says, just expand and illuminate the original truth, unconcerned by external conditions. It's not that we ignore external conditions. Hongzhi talks about responding to external conditions quite a lot in the practice instructions. But we don't have to be concerned or upset or try and figure out what to do about external conditions. Accordingly, Hongzhi continues, we are told to realize that not a single thing exists. And that's a strange statement. Ultimately, I would say it, not a single thing exists as a single isolated object. So there's no single things. We're all married to everything. Everything is right here. And of course we can't get our head around that because, you know, there's always something that we can't see. This is part of what Hongzhi talks about too. And this is something that we can help focus on in Seshin. Just what is our process of hearing the birds or the traffic, feeling our inhale through our body, exhaling. And when we exhale, we're actually exhaling carbon dioxide from our whole body. So when we feel it more in our diaphragm or our nose or throat anyway. Not a single thing exists. And every single thing exists, but not separate. It all comes up together. Just expand and illuminate, Poncho continues, the original truth unconcerned by external conditions. So again, we don't ignore external conditions, but we don't have to be caught up in them. Not a single thing exists. The deep source, transparent down to the bottom, can radiate, radiantly shine, and can respond unencumbered to each speck of dust without becoming its partner. The subtlety of seeing and hearing transcends mere colors and sounds. The whole affair functions without leaving traces and mirrors without obscurations. So this is a good instruction for Sesshin, particularly, that we can radiantly shine, or the deep source radiantly shines through us, and we don't have to be encumbered to each speck of dust, to each thought or feeling or phenomena that we see or hear or taste or smell. We don't have to be encumbered to each speck of dust without becoming its partner. It's all around us and within us and in between. All of it is right here. Very naturally, mind and phenomena emerge and harmonize. How do we, so the mind is what we think, the thinker, the objects of thinking, the objects of seeing, the objects of hearing, they're all together. They all can harmonize. With thoughts clear, sitting silently, wander into the center of the circle of wonder. This is how to penetrate and study. With thoughts clear, not obsessed by any particular thought, or letting go of it when it does encumber us. Just let go is the essential art of Zazen. It doesn't mean push away. It doesn't mean to figure out or define or describe or whatever. Just, okay, here we are. Here's this thought, this feeling, let it go. They may come up again or not. It's okay. So these thought clouds are clear. These sound clouds around us and the breath within us and without us all clarified, and we can sit silently and wander into the center of the circle of wonder. So this wondering is important. The sense of wonder. Oh, what is it? How is this? So it's not blank mind, it's aware mind. We're paying attention, but gently, to all of it. And we can feel how wonderful it all is to be alive, to be sitting together in Sangha, to feel all the stuff that we feel as we sit on our seat, including all of the stuff, the regrets and difficulties and problems of the world and of our life and of all those around us. Here we are. Another breath, and exhale. And in the center of this sometimes is this circle of wonder. We wonder who we are, how we are, what's reality, how's Buddha. And, those are not questions that we can figure out. or come to some explanation of. It's just feeling it, all of it. How's Buddha? How's Buddha on your seat? How's Buddha on everybody's seat? On Zoom and in the Lincoln's person. So we can wonder. We can wander. We can let our mind wander. That's okay. A little more from Hongzhou, the beginning of Hongzhou's practice instructions. He says, the practice of true reality, I think that's pretty, I don't remember the kanji there, but I'm sure that's actually what he said. True reality. And then we are surrounded by false realities, of course. Fake news and all of that stuff. And all the fake news that we make up for ourselves. But the practice of true reality is simply to sit serenely. Serene illumination, to sit serenely in silent introspection. So this is what this session is about. Silence. During session, we don't talk unless there's something we need to say related to session. We don't get caught up in idle speech. Sit serenely. What does that mean? And maybe what that is, that true reality is different for each one of us in some way. And still, it's the true reality. In silent introspection, looking within, paying attention. When you have fathomed this, function continues, you cannot be turned around by external causes and conditions. So this is actually a big deal when you have fathomed this. When you can really enjoy just what it is to sit serenely, silently, facing the wall or the floor of your personality. Sit serenely. To hear the elbow bite. When you have fathomed to get to the depths of this, you cannot be turned around by external causes and conditions. Doesn't mean we ignore external causes and conditions. A bodhisattva vow is to respond. The Hongzhu talks a lot about responding to situations of difficulty and suffering in our life. Or maybe even in the next period of Zazen, how do we respond? How do we console ourselves for all of our apparent habits? How do we settle again and again? How do we feel what we feel? But Hongzhu says, when we really get down to this, we can't be turned around by external causes and conditions. So we don't ignore thoughts and feelings coming up. Maybe that's not external, maybe it is, I don't know. But also, sounds of the birds and whatever. And we return and take another breath. And when we do get turned around by thoughts or feelings or some annoying sound, we don't like the sound of the yell going by, although Chicago people are pretty used to it. But whatever sound, I don't know what sounds there are in Ontario or New Mexico around here, but anyway, if you don't like a sound, well, just come back and take another breath. Hongzhu continues, this empty, wide-open mind is subtly and correctly illuminating so when we let go, when we can open out our mind the wideness of reality, of true reality. This is subtly. It's not always obvious and correctly illuminating. Spacious and content, he continues, without confusion from inner thoughts of grasping. And of course we all have those, but how do we let go and not be confused? Spacious and content. Effectively overcome habitual behavior and realize the self that's not possessed by emotions. It doesn't mean to try and get rid of all your emotions and thoughts. Just don't be possessed by them. And, you know, we do get caught by our emotions. Of course, that's what emotions are about. But how do we let go, not be possessed by them? Spacious and content. So this is also about, I'm going to talk tomorrow about meditation on space, spaciousness, which is connected to all of this. Spacious and content, not confused from all of our inner thoughts and grasping, getting a hold and attaining things and getting things and, you know, the way we're trained by consumerism to get all the stuff in the TV commercials or whatever. Effectively overcome habitual behavior, realize the self is not possessed by emotions. We don't have to be possessed by emotions. We can recognize them and feel them. We don't have to react based on our grasping or aversion. We take another breath and we can respond, you know, when there's some way to respond. Sometimes there's nothing to say or do. But within ourselves to respond, oh yeah, there's that again. We don't have to act out based on it. And sometimes we do, and then, you know, take another breath. Overcome habitual behavior, realize the self not possessed by emotions. You must be broad-minded, whole, without relying on others. So when we turn within, when we face the wall, when we face ourselves, this is what, as I said, I felt the first time I had Zazen instruction. Sometimes people take years to feel this, but I just felt this wholeness. That somehow my life and my experience and my presence now, there was a wholeness to it. And everything was okay. Doesn't mean that everything was perfect. But there are things we should respond to, but there's a wholeness. Broad-minded, without relying on others. Such upright independent spirit, Hongzhi continues, can begin not to pursue degrading situations. And of course, there are all kinds of degrading situations available, but we don't have to get caught up in them. Here you can rest and become clean, pure and lucid, bright and penetrating. And you can immediately return, accord, and respond to deal with events. A little further along, he says, everything is unhindered, clouds gracefully floating up to the peaks, the moonlight glitteringly flowing down mountain streams. So, as we've seen from these practice instructions, Hongzhi uses all kinds of nature metaphors to show us nature is not just something out there on the lakeshore or in the prairies outside the city. Nature is on our cushions, on our seats, right now. Everything's unhindered, clouds gracefully floating up to the peaks. Our thought clouds, our feeling clouds. Let them float up away or settle on some peak. Moonlight glitteringly flows down mountain streams. So, here in Chicagoland, we don't have mountains, we have prairies, we have a big lake, we have skyscrapers, you could think of as mountains. You go down, you go to the lake shore again, to the loop. But Hongzhi continues, the entire place is brightly illumined and spiritually transformed, totally unobstructed and clearly manifesting responsive interaction. Maybe that's enough for Hongzhi for today. Just as we sit and turn within, we actually are nature. We can think of all of the human apparatus, light bulbs and laptops and tables and the rugs and cushions and all of this stuff as something that's not wild and natural, but actually we each is an expression of the natural order. And because we're very smart monkeys, monkey mind comes up and we try and figure out what to do or explain or, you know. And that's all okay, you know, it's not that we should get rid of that. But this session and this sitting and this practice is a way of, okay, taking another breath, settling in. What is the practice of true reality? What is the clouds floating up and the streams flowing down in our own body and minds? We each is an expression of the whole world. And then we take another breath. And let go. Exhale. So Sesshin is this wonderful opportunity, this amazing invention, I think of Japanese Zen. I don't know if they did this, they just sat a lot in China and in Japanese monasteries. At some point they, for all of us who are not in residential monastic type schedules in our lives, Sesshin is a wonderful invention to allow us some space to take another breath and settle into what is it right here now? How is Buddha on your seat? How is Buddha on your seat right now? And also from the very beginning and before the very beginning and into the future. We are vast in space and time. I hear an airplane going over. I look at Square Zenda. Probably flying to O'Hare, maybe flying up from O'Hare. All of it is right here. All of it is right now. All of my life, even before I escaped California and moved to Chicago, it's all right here. So please enjoy your zazen throughout the day today, and if all of you will be back tomorrow, maybe some online, or you'll be back the day after. So please continue inhaling and exhaling. You don't have to think about inhaling and exhaling. It happens. But enjoy it when you recall that that's happening. Sesshin means to gather the mind. So we bring ourselves together on our seats through the day, through the days. And if you get caught up in trying to figure out what to do about whatever, okay, that happens. At some point, you may let go. You might even wonder, what's for lunch? Mike's taking very good care of us, so, for her. Okay, we'll have a time for discussion over tea mid-afternoon. I feel like I've said everything I want to say. If there's one comment or question, I'll accept that now. That's something.
I have a question.
Who's that? Oh, Nick.
Hi. A question came to me. I scribbled it out. I hope I can make sense of it. But so you talked a lot about how our thoughts and desires fabricate into patterns, right? Which I guess is karma. Okay? What?
You can call it that, sure.
Okay. So if so, can we swap out our fabrications and choose to identify with, you know, the inherent boundlessness of each moment, each breath, as you were talking about, and thereby alter our karma, and then be more inclined to cultivate the circle of wonder as our primary experience, and then which would that allow us to pursue our bodhisattva mission to be of service with less hindrance? Obviously, probably, but so is this the process is this what we're doing?
Well, you know, it might be what you're doing, and that's okay. So swamp out is an interesting term. I don't think Hongzhi said that.
Yeah.
There were swamps around his mountain. So, but maybe, you know, there are wetlands, there might be swamps around us here. Are you in Indiana or Chicago now?
I'm in Chicago today.
Great. Well,
he said swap out.
Oh, swap out? I heard swamp out.
No, swap, like... Wow. You know, I could use a better word, but you know, words are tricky and
words are tricky. Yay! So yeah, look, it's not that we. It's very subtle, you know. Sometimes it's not about fixing something. It's not about fixing our karma or changing it necessarily. Allow it to change us, or it changes on, it's not that we can, well, I don't know, maybe some people can change their karma. There are times when that happens. I told the story about how I gave up smoking cigarettes after 8 years, when I was, my first few months of sitting zazen. Anyway.
Well, I'm thinking it's not such a willful process, it's just, you know, something that happens, you know. Through grace.
Yes, so paying attention is important, even as we're settling. Focusing on our breathing, focusing on sounds, pay attention. It doesn't have to be like, you know, intense military style attention. Just be aware. Awareness itself is transformative. It's an old slogan of mine. So, as we sit facing it all, you know, sometimes there is some letting go of some of our karmic patterns, but you can't try and force that. By sitting like this and you know, sometimes for some people it happens, it can happen suddenly or quickly. For most of us, it happens over time, and by keeping, returning to your seat and returning to silent introspection, things loosen up.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. That does happen. But it's not that we're trying to, you know, change or fix anything, because, you know, sometimes we can. But you can get caught up in obsessing about having to get rid of this pattern or that pattern. And that's not so helpful. Just this open awareness and taking the backward step, turning the light inward, does have an impact. So I hear, you know, your wish to get rid of some of your ancient twisted karma. We all, I think many of us feel that. I certainly have some ancient twisted karma that is bothersome. But how do we sit right in the middle of it? How do we take another breath, face the wall, face ourselves? And if you're, you know, trying to push stuff away, well, okay, notice that you're doing that.
Well, I'm thinking it's not so much I'm trying to push things away. It's I feel like I'm re-identifying my sense of, you know, it's like through awareness, by paying attention, I mean, it's maybe it's a choice is another tricky word, but just to identify with this sense of boundlessness as opposed to a fabrication, which, you know, comes again and again, and you see it and it's there and you pay attention to that. And then I breathe and it's like, what else is there, you know?
Okay, well, I want to use a different word than re-identify. But yeah, I don't think you should only identify with the circle of wonder, the boundless spaciousness of reality. It's good to see that, to feel that. But also, instead of re-identifying with your patterns and habits of apparent tendencies, when you see them, I would suggest becoming intimate with them.
Yes.
Becoming familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we are familiar with those patterns, those apparent tendencies, the more, you know, we can be friendly with them, befriend your habits.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes they're just really yucky and you don't want to. But just, okay, re-identify, not exactly, but just, you don't have to identify with them, but appreciate them. That's part of what, of how you is. And get to know them. And you don't have to do that in some special way. Sometimes seeing a therapist to examine those is helpful. It can be an adjunct to substance practice. But to just feel what you feel, to see the apparent tendencies you fabricated into stuff, and get to know them. It's okay. Become, if not intimate, familiar with that stuff. And then, what gradually, or maybe sometimes suddenly happens, is that when that stuff comes up again, which it will, you don't have to react. You don't have to act out. Oh, there's that again. And you can just, and then, you know, you can choose to respond based on what's happening in you and without and around you, and try to be helpful. That's our going subject. So don't turn away from the apparent habits. Don't try and force them away. But don't try and, you know, do anything with them either. So that's what I would say now. So thank you for your question, Nicholas. We will all talk more about all of this afternoon. But now it's time to do our closing Bodhisattva vow. So thank you all very much.
Illusions are exhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Karma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it.